On that note, we're going to zip over to the phone lines. And let's see, and let's hit conference. Sir, who's there now? I have one caller on the line.
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, are you Pakchok?
Yes, yes, I'm
okay.
Pakchok.
All right, hold on. I'm going to try to put your partner on the other line. This is the magic of live radio. Let's see. All right, you're locked in. And let's hit the conference line, and let's see if we can't bring in Eric. Okay, Eric, do we have you too?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow, amazing.
Hi.
All right, now, these gentlemen are going to talk to you about a brand new book called Radically Happy. I got it from my friend Kurt Jones from Civil One, and it's a user's guide to the mind, and I started going through this already, and it is beautifully done. There's beautiful artwork in it, and all of us, Pakchok, we'll start with you, all of us could use help in our mind and with being radically happy.
Yes.
And tell us why and how the book came about.
This book came out is me and my friend Eric. We know each other over 20 years, and so 5 years ago we actually met up and discuss about things and what is need to be seeing to the friends and my groups, and what is the best way to actually bring a little bit more easier to approach to people them this kind of exercise to themselves. So Eric and we both came out this Radical Happy book. They have inside 28 different exercises you can actually do it for to maintaining our mind and emotions and life a little bit more improvement. This is what actually came out.
I'd like you to know that I already started working on this, and I did some of the exercises already, so I can tell the audience they're very helpful. Let's let Eric Solomon tell us his part of this and how it went for you, sir.
Well, I think that, you know, I was in Silicon Valley for many years. I was a programmer, and then I eventually entrepreneur, businessman. And, you know, just for example, during that first dot-com boom, you know, around 2000, what we saw is overnight, you had a whole bunch of people. They worked to get a job they loved in technology. They were in the best place in the world, Silicon Valley. And all of a sudden, everybody knows someone who they don't really think is all that smart, who's made $200 million. And this wave of jealousy swept over the valley. And what you saw was people suddenly, even though everything was well in their lives, like it was a mass hysteria of this dissatisfaction. And we see this again and again in our world. The world's going faster and faster. We have constant, our phones are demanding constant attention from all these different social media. And this is something that's bringing us farther and farther away from finding who we really are and where our own basic sanity really exists. So Rinpoche and I, each from very different backgrounds, we're talking about how can we make something that has the wisdom of what we had received from our teachers. I studied with Rinpoche's grandfather, for example, that had the wisdom of our teachers, but was put in a way that anyone from any background, any religion, no religion, could understand and fit in the lives that they have today, that could make a difference from almost the very beginning that they opened the book. And Tom, it sounds like you're one of those people who were able to just in a short time see some benefit.
Well, and to your point, it's a very stressful world. Folks, if you're in business or you have a job, we all have stress. And one of the chapters here that I liked right off the bat, it's in the beginning of the book, the beginning chapter called Introducing Radical Happiness. Pakchok, it was the looking for happiness conundrum. Could you explain that, please?
I think Eric can do.
Back to you, Eric.
Okay. Well, basically, we're always looking for happiness in circumstances. And, of course, this is fundamentally understandable because we all want our lives to be better. But that's not the problem, wanting our life to be better. If there's something you can do, by all means do it. It's that we put so much of our hope and our fear on achieving it or avoiding something that we don't want. And so when we try to do this, everybody's had this experience of a perfect day. And in the midst of that perfect day, haven't you found yourself saying kind of with a sigh, too bad every day can't be like this? even in this great moment, we all have found ourselves a little bit already dissatisfied in the too bad. So how do you really enjoy? Where do you put your attention? How do you find real meaning in life? And this is something that we try to answer in the book. And basically, the answer is you put your attention into the present moment, and through your interactions and your natural warm-heartedness, you discover meaning and purpose in life.
Now, Mr. Rinpoche, would you please talk a little bit about how you met my friend Kurt Jones? Because I understand that you're from somewhere out near Kathmandu, and you're also a colleague of the Dalai Lama.
Long story short, I have a meditation center in upstate New York, near Cooperstown. So, and my friend, my wife's friend, she knows Kurt. So one time Kurt just dropped by to the meditation center, and so then I met up through that. And Kurt is such a nice person, and I talked things about Dharma, whatever meditation kind of stuff. Then he really liked it. We sort of clicked in as a friendship. He's a very good friend.
He's an easy man. He's an easy man to deal with. But I know you've traveled all over the world teaching meditation and talking to people. So tell us a little bit more about why you felt the need to read this book, and then why people might want to buy it.
I think the most important part is, I think, first, of course, you already heard about, like, people's going through a lot of difficulties that we have not much time and so busy in life. And, of course, we always struggle some way, another physical, emotional, whatever levels we go through. Sometimes we have happy times. So what I found out is a lot of time is the way of how we approach towards, exercise and mind and things is so difficult to new people to approach and to understand. And sometimes a lot of people have afraid that they have some kind of, religious ideas and, I need to change completely and all this kind of stuff. So what I thought is, me and my friend, that we should actually give an exercise. Actually, we don't want to talk about too much about word of meditation. We should actually want to say a mental exercise or mind exercise or like that, to able to approach. So actually what I found is America is the leading world to be changing fast, the 21st century. The first thing changes usually I see in America first. And after that, I see within the 4 or 5 years, the same movement is going to begin in Europe. And after 10 years, I see an Asia movement. So I thought my friends in the U.S. is really needed first. So then from there, then we can approach towards the 21st century, very busy life and no time to actually think about him, their own mind or their own state of emotions or levels of that.
Very well said. Very well said. You can get so caught up in life quickly and you wonder what's going on. Very well said. Continue, please.
Yes, I think the most important part, I think many of the legal listeners are going to be saying, oh, I don't really believe in this kind of exercise. Actually, you don't need to believe in this kind of exercise. Just need to do it, And this is number one. And number two is one thing, some people go to say like, oh, I'm doing meditation for so long time, but it really doesn't really help much. But why is this? Because meditation actually can be blind sometimes. And you really need to learn to see yourself and reflect yourself and to see what need to be improved in your life and your emotion and yourself, then the meditation only works well. But just doing the meditation itself without using reflection, without using seeing what to improve, meditation sometimes going to be very nice and really calm, really calming, really positive, really good feeling and some improvement, but it's not going to be transformation of yourself.
And folks, if you'd like to look at the book, it's called Radically Happy, A User's Guide to the Mind. And it's by Pokchok Rinpoche and Eric Solomon. Eric's on the phone as well, and you can probably pick this up anywhere. I have one, and I'm enjoying the exercises. To the author's quote just now, I think you do have to practice, and it's something I'd like to work on because I love my life, but, I get stressed out very quickly. Eric, I guess you might want to add something. I know you're going to be both at the Rubin Museum in Lower Manhattan today at 3 o'clock, correct?
That's right. We're going to be there talking about technology and wisdom and the future and then about how radically happy fits into that. And I think the key thing is that this isn't something you have to do for hours and hours every day. It's just a little bit. Just like, you know, Rinpoche was saying, you know, maybe some people are skeptical, but you don't have to believe in running or jogging or walking or getting physical exercise for it to work. You just have to do it. So with just a few minutes a day, and then we show you how to integrate it into your life, that then all of your life becomes an opportunity to do these exercises. And, you know, we all have this blessed gift of a mind and of awareness. And so, you know, we should really learn how to get the full potential out of this incredible gift. And you know, it's not that radically happy people don't experience loss, don't experience all the difficulties of life. It's more about resilience. It's about how you can always find a way to be well or okay to weather whatever storm life throws at you. So I hope people also, you know, we're going to be at this Wesley and RJ Julia bookstore tomorrow in Connecticut, so at 1 p.m. So that's another way people, if you're listening, can come in and find out about us.
That's 1 p.m. Wesleyan, and that's in Middletown.
Yeah.
And that's 1 o'clock tomorrow, Wesleyan. So you can just Google you. Do you want to give a website, or can they just Google you guys?
Yes, if they go to radicallyhappy.org, they can find out about our coming events. There's a couple left on this book tour, and then also keep up to date with what we're up to and more information about the book.
And I have to, folks, talk about the artwork in the book, because that is, like, worth looking at, even if you don't read the book.
Yeah. Well, we feel that people learn through a variety of methods, and part of it is how, when you're learning something new, just how it makes you feel to kind of look at the page. So we worked with an old friend of ours so that every page is beautiful to look at and kind of communicates nonverbally the message of our book. I think Julian is a spectacular graphic artist based in Melbourne, Australia, Julian Pong, and he really went all out and made a very beautiful book.
It is wonderful. Now, Puckchoke, you have many lessons in the book, and one early in the chapter that I saw was, and this is a quote, "We aren't, as humans, very good at predicting what will make us happy."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could expand a little bit on that.
I think the most important, I think we can actually see ourselves, you know, that really we know actually how to predict or how to know we are happy. And I just give you an idea, like family or friends or lover, you know, companion. We actually love each other, you know, family so much, but why we always spend more time to complain and or fighting or discomfort than happiness? And some people can have good, happy time, happy families, but many of the time we're actually going through a lot of struggles. We all know that. And the idea is why we do so, that we actually love, we actually understood that we want to spend time with each other and happy, but then we don't know how to be happy. We don't know how to make other people happy. We always go choose something that makes other people and yourself more difficult. So the situations in a relationship, in individual, we all want happiness. And why we don't know how to be happy? That is the whole question. It's very simple. You can ask yourself that, yeah, I want to be happy. Everybody wants happy. So the principle that I believe is that why every human beings searching for happiness, whatever you kind of level of human being are, whatever belief you in, or you know, whatever whoever you are, why we want happiness? Because our happiness is the innate, existent within ourselves. But that's why we don't know how to achieve it. We don't know how to actually receive it, you know. So that's why I feel like the idea is that we don't know how to predict. We don't know how to get it. We know sometimes how to get it, but we don't know how to maintain it. You know, this is what I think when I see myself, and this is what I found.
I think you're absolutely correct. It's a very, very challenging world. And again, you're right. Well, with that said, as we move on in this book, I also saw a chapter that I have not gotten to yet, but it was Relax the Judging. And I know that all of us are humans, are quick to judge. Maybe you could comment a little bit on that judging chapter and a little bit why people might want to look into that.
Yeah, I think, Eric, you can do that.
Yeah, sure. I think, first of all, the science is telling us about 100 milliseconds after I meet you for the first time, I've made a whole bunch of judgments about you. And not all those judgments are correct, but they're incredibly hard to change. Now, when I think back to my time in Silicon Valley and meeting some of the greatest technologists in the world or the greatest business people in Silicon Valley, what was the common theme among them, if I were to pick one quality that I really saw was unusual, was the ability to, of course, they make judgments. You have to as a businessman, as a technologist. You have to. But when new data would come in, they could immediately completely change their mind about a situation. But science is telling us that most of us have a great deal of difficulty in being able to make that switch. And we see, for example, another interesting piece of science is people were given in this one experiment a series of policy proposals that could come up before Congress and ask for their feedback. And people said all kinds of interesting things about it until they were told whether it was Democrat or Republican. And immediately, depending on what party you were in, you had an opinion based on that solely alone. So what relax the judging is about is how to break through our habitual response to what we notice so that we're always open to new data, so that we're always able to when we learn something new, take full advantage of it and not just be responding through the way we were raised, what tribe we want to be part of, et cetera, et cetera.
So what you're saying also is many of us have preconceived notions.
Yeah, well, they're subtle preconceived notions. They're subtle biases that we're not aware of. And then this book is designed to help you be able to see yourself and the world more authentically. And therefore, you'll be able to make better decisions about your life.
That's Eric Solomon. Pakchuk, before I take a commercial, do you want to add any comment to the judging?
I think the most important part is a lot of people that, I just want to say one of my meditation teacher, when I went to see him, he says, don't be like dog. Be like lion. So you throw a stone at the dog chases stone. Whatever comes in our mind, we chase that after that, and we become that. But you look at your own mind, and when you throw a stone at lion actually look at the thrower or the stone, not the stone. So likewise,
As lunch.
Yes.
As lunch.
You know, this book, I see it as a nice read, but I also see it as a textbook on how to improve yourself. So I've got to play a couple of commercials, and then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the places you can see them, where you can buy the book. And this is Hill's Gallery, Tom Hill, with the authors of Radically Happy, and we'll be right back with more. Now, we're on the phone, and we're talking to Pakchuk Rinpoche and Eric Solomon on the new book called Radically Happy, A User's Guide to the Mind. And Eric, would you repeat the website if people want to have a look at this?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Tom. It's radicallyhappy.org.
And let's talk a little bit about the event tomorrow over in Wesleyan University in Middletown so people have time to plan to go on over there at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Great. Well, we're going to be, Rinpoche and I are going to be talking about the book and probably giving you one exercise that if you, even if you don't buy the book, you can walk away with one thing that you can put into your life right away, a few minutes a day, and it's going to make a big difference.
Well, you know, I recommend people do buy the book because it's really so well done. And I'm now in the back of the book looking at the list of exercises. And in the chapters, they give you these nice exercises. But you're also, it's like a textbook. They're running you through them so you can pick. Let's say you go home one day and you have a problem. You can pick through because I have found that I have trouble with judging and trying to be cool and easier with people than just judging them right off the bat as a commissioned salesman. So I think you can, this is like a textbook that you can look through, and maybe we could talk a little bit about this list of exercises with Pakchuk.
Yes.
And how to implement them, I suppose.
So I think the one exercise that I like to do is called creating space. That's actually in the beginning of the book.
Number two, yes.
Yes, the creating space is actually really important because I realized that whenever I become tired or stressed out, then I become very high tendency to become emotional very easily. And so that happens. Actually, I lose space in my mind. Actually, I become very caught into the things that what people say or what comes in my mind and what kind of state of emotion that I am. So what I do is I just exhale my breath, and just for 1-2 seconds, I hold on. Then slowly I breathe in. Then I think about the around me, the whole spaciousness, the space, go beyond the wall. And, you know, you think about the spaciousness or the blue sky or around you. The most important is actually the vastness of the space. When you actually think about the vastness of the space, actually you actually can start feeling from your heart, from your chest, from your heart, actually open up slowly by slowly. You can actually feel it. It's very interesting. You can do like 1 minute or 2 minutes or something like that. You actually can feel a rest or calm or space. So that actually makes you are not running away from situations, but you have a space. Then after you face the situations, you don't become too temperament or too upset or too emotional, because you don't lose the space. The moment you lose the space, again, you become emotional very fast. So creating space, I think, is very useful for me myself. So I really believe that people can, I can see some benefits, some people, when you do that, creating space.
And I'm going to work on this, and also for myself. And we're taught in some of our commercial real estate courses that the humans only use maybe 5 or 10% of our brains. How do you feel about that? And what percentage, without training, of our brains we're really using?
I'm not sure how much brain we are using, but I know that we are not using our mind a lot. And how much a brain I'm using, I think scientists, they know very well. I think I agree with you how many percentage we're using. But my mind, I know exactly that we are not using well. We're not actually doing well. Because we don't have control towards thoughts and moods and emotions all the time. And that shows very clear that we don't have much of the choice. Sometimes the situations take over. I know. So this is what I think, that it's very important to able to train, you know, or do some exercise for mind.
I'm with you. Here's an exercise 23, practicing patience. I am constantly trying to be practice patient. Eric, I'm going to let you wrap it up because we got to go to the 10 o'clock news, but I can give you at least a minute to finish up. It's so nice of you gentlemen to call in about this book, Radically Happy. You're welcome, Polchuk. Go ahead, Eric. You can wrap.
Thank you. I think we all struggle with patience at times. And the thing that I find works the best, because, you know, as a Silicon Valley business guy, it's always like, how do I get it out yesterday? How do I get it out yesterday? Everything's about impatience. And yet, what that does to your mind, and, you know, my interaction with my wife, my friends, it still has that same, impatience, is that I start my morning by just imagining the things that I know that might happen and how they might trigger me. And then I think how I'm not going to be triggered. I just imagine I won't be triggered. And it's funny, even just a minute, 60 seconds contemplating this, then sure enough, when that event happens, I don't necessarily go from my usual impatient habit. And this is the thing that I just want to say about our book. We really thought a lot about what this modern, crazy, always-on wired world is like, and how we can give our friends, our family, ourselves, something that would work in the midst of this chaos.
So, buy 5 or 10 and give them out to your friends, your family, and your kids. So, absolutely. I hope you go to see these guys at 1 o'clock tomorrow, Wesleyan University. I'd love to have you back on again, but the clock is ticking. Nice to talk to both of you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, that was
fun. Have a great day.
You too.